Thanks, Polina. Good evening, everyone. This is a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board. I'm Julie Hewitt, the chair of the board. Today's date is Thursday, November 17th, 2022, and it is 8:39 p.m. on the East Coast. And I'm calling the meeting to order. First item up, Aki Tanaka, would you mind taking the roll call for this evening's meeting?
Okay. Let's start with Teresa Allen. She's not here yet. Bud Cohen. Jim Dingan.
Here.
Okay, Jim is here. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Vanessa is here. Sue Goodwin. Okay, get back to you. Heather Gray.
Here.
Heather is here. Donna Grimes?
Here.
Donna is here. Judy Hewitt?
Here.
Judy is here. Yvania Jones? Okay. Alexa? Miriam Martinez? James McFadden? Darlene Pagano?
Here.
Darlene is here. Ron Sayers?
Presente.
Okay, Lawrence is here. Sean Rose?
I am here.
Sean is here. Jim Sagatin?
Here.
Jim is here. Shalom Salam? Okay, Aki is here. Mark Landewitt?
Present.
Okay, Mark is here. Beth Van Guten?
Here.
Beth is here. Egberto Willis?
Ron, that's for you.
Okay. Susan Young? Susan Young? Okay. Polina?
Susan Young might be a little late.
Okay. Polina, you're here. John Tatum?
I'm here.
Yeah, Stephanie? Stephanie Wells?
Here.
Okay.
Oh, this is James McFadden. I'm here.
Okay. So we have 13 at the moment.
Akio?
Yes.
This is Ali Lexa. I'm here.
Okay.
And this is Teresa Allen. I'm here.
Okay. So we have 15. Okay. Very good. We have at least 15. So that's good.
All right. Thanks, Aki. I will, to the extent that I notice people coming into the meeting, I will, let you know that they've joined us. Next item up is reading the report out from the November 10th executive session, and it is the PMB met in closed session to conclude a disciplinary matter and hear confidential legal and financial reports. Next item up is excused absences. Can I get a motion?
Move to excuse.
I'll second.
Thank you, Jim and Heather.
Did we have any?
We have a bunch of people who are not present at the moment. And those people who are not present, hang on, let me read who's not present. So not present at the moment are Burke Cohen, Sue Goodwin, Avelia Jones, Marianne Martinez, Sharon Salam.
I'm here.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. Okay, so never mind. Sharon's not on that list. Sorry. And Egberto Willis and Susan Young. And I believe we expect some of those people to show up, just, you know, not immediately. Are there any motion? Are there any objections to the motion to excuse those not present?
Chair, I would object to Bear Cohen because we have not heard from him, so I object to excusing him?
Okay, then we'll go to a roll call vote on. Okay, so hang on. I just listed a whole bunch of people, so the only person you're saying you object to is Bert.
He would need a second, and he needs a vote.
Right. So is there a second to Lawrence's motion to amend to not include Bert Cohen?
I'll second.
Thanks, Sharon. Sorry, folks, I am okay. I'm having to take notes too. Let's see. Since Sharon seconded, okay, so now we have objections. So now we need to go to a roll call vote. And okay, so a vote yes is.
Chair?
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe you can just say, is there any objection to that?
Oh, are there any objections to
what?
Excusing Bert Cohen? I'm sorry. Any objections to the motion to not excuse Bert Cohen?
I object.
All right. Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you, Rocky, for the reminder.
Chair, a question.
Yeah.
I thought it had been announced that it's been publicly announced he has an illness and that he wouldn't be coming. I just thought that was kind of understood. He's sick. So it's not he's just like not showing up.
Right.
That's true.
yes, I believe that is accurate. So, okay, so we have objections to the motion to remove him from the list of excused absences. So, since we have objections, we need to go to a roll call vote. So, Aki, would you take a roll? And so a vote yes is to remove Bert from the list of excused absences.
Correct.
And a vote no is to leave him on the list.
Correct.
Okay. So, Teresa?
Yes.
Okay. Jim Dingman?
Just to reiterate, no is to excuse him, correct?
Correct.
Yes, no.
I'm sorry. If I vote yes, I am not excusing him.
A vote yes is to remove Bert from the list of excused absences.
Then I'll say no. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
No.
Vanessa is no. Okay. Sue Goodman, are you here? Not yet. Okay. Heather Gray?
No.
Heather is no. Donna Grimes? Donna? I'll get back to you. Iveria, are you on? Not yet. Ariraksa?
No.
Ariraksa, no. Marianne Martinez, are you on? Not yet. Jigs McFadden?
Abstain.
Abstain, okay. Doreen Pagano?
No.
No, okay. Ron Sayers?
With the clarifying information from Vanessa, I vote no.
Okay. Bones is no. Sean Rhodes?
No.
Sean is no. Jim Sagatin?
No.
Is no. Shalom Salam?
No.
No, okay. Aki is no. Mark? Mark Bandewitt? Okay, Beth Van Gutten? Beth?
Sorry, it was muted. No.
No? Okay. Let me get back to, let's see, Sue Goodman? No, Sue is not here yet. Donna Grimes?
I'm abstain.
Abstain? Okay. And Iberia is not here yet. Marianne is not here yet. Mark? And are you gonna pull Mark? Okay, it's not voting, okay. Okay, so 12 no's and 2 abstentions.
Chair, I'm so sorry.
No, go ahead, Vanessa.
I didn't know he, did you finish? Did you vote?
No, I did not vote. So, I'll vote.
Oh, Heather. Yeah, okay. So 13 no, then 2 abstentions. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, just wanted to suggest, that maybe somebody could just call and check on Bert, see how he's doing. I mean, maybe somebody already has, but, if not.
This is Heather. I do it every now and then, but I haven't just lately. But I will definitely do it again.
Yeah. Okay. I will note that he was on email earlier this week, so, or at least I got an email from him, but at any rate, okay, next item is identifying timekeepers in the recording secretary. Can I get a timekeeper for people?
This is Heather. I'll do it, Julie.
Thank you. Can I get someone to time agenda items?
I can do items.
Thank you, Darlene. I will do my best to, remind you of the time allotted to each of them as we go. Okay. And can we get a recording secretary volunteer? I've jotted down notes for the very beginning.
Yeah, Aki. I'll do it.
Okay. Got it. Great. Thank you. Appreciate that, Aki. So then the next item is, agenda approval, which is a 5-minute item, Darlene. And I will, read through the agenda here. Item 3 is approving minutes. Item 4 is an ED report and Q&A. Item 5 is a general counsel report and Q&A, although I don't think we expect Arthur until the closed session. Item 6 is a motion on affiliates director elections. Item 7 is unfinished business, and we have a couple of motions there, one on programming, one on, or maybe one or maybe two on underwriting. Item 8 is new business, of which I'm unaware of any. Number 9 is motion to move into executive session at a time certain of 10 p.m.
Approve.
Hang on. Let me finish. I'm not done yet. Item 10 in executive session is an executive session ED report. Item 11 is an executive session legal report. Item 12 is a confidential financial motion. Item 13 is discussing what we can share with LSBs in closed session. Number 14 is the report out. And then back to open session is rising and reporting. 1 minute adjourning, number 16, adjourning at a time certain of 12 midnight. Now I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Thank you, Jim Dingman. Is there a second?
James.
Thank you, Jim Sagerton. Any discussion of the agenda? Hearing none, are there any objections to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. All right. Continuing on, the next item up is approving minutes of 2 prior meetings. This is a 3-minute item, Darlene. The 2 previous meetings that we have minutes for are November 3rd and November 10th. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as submitted?
So moved.
Thank you, Jim Dingman. Is there a second?
James.
Second.
Thank you, Jim Sagerton. Any discussion of the minutes? Let's start with the minutes of the 3rd. I'm not hearing any discussion of the minutes of the 3rd. Is there any discussion of the minutes of November 10th? Not hearing any. Are there any objections to the motion to approve the minutes of November 3rd and November 10th. Hearing none, those minutes are approved, subject to the usual provision that, you know, if a director comes back later and says they'd like to make corrections to the minutes, we can, of course, revisit that at any time. So that brings us to item 4 on the agenda, which is the ED report and Q&A, and this is a 15-minute item. And Stephanie, go ahead.
Thank you. Financial data was sent out to everybody today, and I've been, a few people have questioned or asked if these can be shared with the treasurers of each of the LSBs at the divisions, and so I just want to let everybody know that yes, they can, because this is a lot of the same information that it gets sent to the National Finance Committee anyway, so feel free to go ahead and send those out to everyone. I send these off to the GMs as well. We had the archives had their fund drive yesterday. They raised a little over $40,000. There are still some pledges that are coming in that need to be made. But they were one thing that was really quite interesting that Mark was telling me is that they received three major donations that, you know, were in the low four digits from the areas surrounding KPFK, KPFA, and WPFW. So we are looking on getting the details on those donors and making sure that we stored them and send out the necessary thank you notes and things like that. So that was just kind of interesting that it had a new reach to some new donors. We are looking still at planning the national fundraising program that is focusing on the music of Bob Dylan. I'm still working very closely with the interim general manager at KPFT who spearheaded this idea. And we've been speaking with some individuals and all the other stations at this point just to try to get a team together to plan this. And I've already had some individuals based upon the phone call and the mention of this at the National Finance Committee this past week, is that we are looking for volunteers. Again, I've had a few people that have emailed me already willing to volunteer and help support this event. And we also will be seeking, if we had this route, which right now we're thinking that we probably will, is acoustic musicians from each of those areas to perform at each station during the event certain Bob Dylan songs. So I've also had a couple of people send me emails as well saying that they know musicians or they're a musician themselves and they'd be willing to participate in that. We are aiming for either a New Year's Eve event or a New Year's Day event. I will leave that up to the committee as we start planning this and the GMs as to what would work best for them. Very excited to keep hearing news from WBAI regarding the PSA programs that they've been working on that have been generating monthly revenue. And they have had these going on for a little while with the New York City Department of Transportation regarding pedestrian safety. And they have most recently added another PSA for the Department of Transportation on truck safety. They also have a series of PSAs running from the New York City Health Department regarding COVID. And I was informed this afternoon that they're also working on another series of PSAs also for the Health Department on maternity services for minorities. So this is a nice source of additional revenue, and when everything is up and running, we're hoping that it should be bringing in approximately $10,000 to $25,000 to that station every month, and we want to be able to use this also as a basic guideline or template with the other stations as well. So the program director there is doing spearheading quite a bit of the work on this, and so she and the general manager will be kind of sharing their best practices for this with the rest of the GM, so we can hope to try to roll this out across all of the networks. We are still sort of still working on a daily basis regarding funding our payroll and our health benefits and also funding any sort of outstanding vendors and payables. We've had some fairly good luck working with, you know, reaching out to all of the vendors that we owe money to and working with them on payment plans, renegotiating what's owed, that kind of thing. So we've been pleased that they've been willing to work with us, and it just kind of shows that people do love Pacifica, and it's great just to be able to talk to them and say, this is what we would like to do. I did mention at the National Finance Committee that I was in, NEDA invited me to attend an underwriting, webinar that was happening earlier in the week. And so I do have a copy of that PowerPoint of that training and then also a video of the training itself. And if anyone is so interested, I will forward that. So I may send that off to Paulina, in order to forward because I don't have access to everybody's emails. Does anyone have any questions?
James.
Go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
Hey, Stephanie, could you forward that to everybody?
Yes, yes.
Wonderful.
It was really very interesting, and everything that everybody has been talking about regarding underwriting, we're kind of heading in that path. But this had a lot of, this was run by a group of lawyers that specialize in underwriting and community radio. So it was very helpful just with their insight, particularly with the questions and answer period.
Other questions for Stephanie?
I would like to, this is Teresa. I'd like to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Are we doing anything for, specifically for Giving Tuesday, the 29th of November?
There are certain stations that are doing some things on their own with Giving Tuesday. I have seen some of that information already with WPFW and also a few emails that have come out from WBAI. There's also some Giving Tuesday things that are happening with KPFK and KPFA. So people are following that Giving Tuesday plan. There isn't a general, I honestly am not too sure who runs the social media for the Pacifica Foundation in general, where we could do a national plan. So if anyone has any info as to who might manage those accounts, we can easily put something out for Giving Tuesday. But the local stations are doing them on their own.
Let me say something. Yesterday I attended training for nonprofits. This is an annual thing. It's called Power Tools. I went to several sessions on storytelling. And we are currently working, while we were doing our research for 50th anniversary, talked to many people that had some very interesting stories about how they first came to attend or listen to KPFT and what, you know, what it felt like and things they remembered from KPFT. And we are interviewing and collecting stories, hopefully to be played, of people who have volunteered for our station. And I'm betting not just our station, but all of the stations have some very interesting stories. People that have been programmers for a long time or just had memorable shows. I also did talk to a woman who was a consultant, and I asked her, she talked about storytelling, and I asked her if she could maybe be interviewed on Giving Tuesday. And I said, what do you think people might be interested in? And she said, it might be interesting to talk about where generosity comes from and how does a person decide where to give their money? And of course, we can pitch a really good argument for giving to Pacifica. She, one of the statistics that came out was that 84% of donations come from individuals. And she said, you know, people often say, I want to get that corporate money. But she said, even if it's through a foundation, half of the donations through corporations are actually decided upon through foundations. I'm sorry, are decided upon, by one person. So I'm thinking, and I'm hoping that we put you, Stephanie, in contact with as many people as possible to talk to them and court them and get to know them and possibly see if individuals will give us money, because those individuals might give when a foundation would say, well, we're not going to give you money because the CPB doesn't give you any money or something to that effect. They might, many people give despite our credit score. If we ask.
Thanks, Teresa. Did you want to say anything, Stephanie?
No, storytelling is absolutely, you know, wonderful, and everybody has great stories about Pacifica. And I, you know, just in the emails and phone calls that I get, everybody has a great memory of Pacifica, and it would be a great series of interstitials just across the network to have little, you know, 30-second blurbs or minutes as to why they love Pacifica and what it means to them.
Yep. Thanks. Heather, then Jim Dingman. Heather, go ahead.
I agree. That's a great idea, having statements from people about Pacifica and its history and so forth. So I'm just curious, Stephanie, thanks for sharing about the archives. Could you tell us, was there anything else that seemed to be of interest to people in particular from what was being offered by the archives? I know you were talking about Bob Dylan, but were there other folks or other entities as well that you can recall?
Well, they did. I was told that they made some great inroads with just some of the interviews and people that they had talked about with the talked to and interviewed for the programming for the day. That Mark said that he goes, we made great inroads on women. I'm just reading a text that he had sent me after while the drive was going on. He said, we have made great inroads on women's rights and women's reproductive right experts who are willing to help the archive secure major funding for our digitization project with USC with connections that they have with Yale. So he was on a plane this morning, Mark, but we're scheduled to talk about that further as the week goes on.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Jim Dingman?
All right. Thank you. Well, it's good news to hear that you went to a webinar on underwriting. Two questions. First of all, where are we at in terms of reapplying to the CPB? Because it's still pretty early. We're in November. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that issue. And secondly, has there been, I noticed that you were able to get some additional revenue to sort of pay down the outstanding payables. And I'm thinking that we have to revisit the whole question of monthly national fundraising in order to chip away at that problem. You know, a little bit of money can help, and I can see that you have in some of the information you just sent us, you know, a couple thousand here, a couple thousand there would help. So even if we have problems in, I know, interfering with the fundraising fragility of the local stations, maybe we can rethink or restructure, be creative about doing a national fundraising, learning from the lessons we had back in the fall, and do this on a monthly basis to basically chip away at that payable issue. What are your thoughts?
I would love to be able to do a national fund drive every month. The key is getting it on the, you know, I just need to be able to get the general managers to be able to get it on their schedule, to be able to get enough individuals that can help support and run that programming and determine, you know, what that theme would be and kind of get ahead of the game, rather than just sort of saying, oh, we're going to do this in, you know, 3 weeks from now or 2 weeks from now, because that doesn't work. So if by getting, we're mapping out the Bob Dylan one, hopefully we're trying to maybe do something by December, but the general managers and the program directors, you know, kind of realized that would be somewhat of an impossibility. Hence when we moved it to either New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. But while that's going on, it would then also be nice to simultaneously be able to plan something then for February, March, and April, just so we can try to get ahead of the game, as I said, rather than being, you know, always playing catch up. As far as CPB, we're still sort of trying to fill out and look through everything that we still need to do to meet those specifications. Again, it would be great to be able to have some people that are more familiar with CPB to be able to assist with that. But right now, what we're kind of lacking in is, as you're well aware of, Jim, is that we're not reaching the percentage of the audience that we should be with the scope of our tower and with the scope of our signals.
Any other questions for Donna Grimes? Go ahead.
Yes, I sense a weirdness. I'm thinking about the, you know, monthly request seems too much, maybe quarterly. That's just my I'm feeling. I'm listening to think about our programmers, and they've been doing a lot of pitching lately, funding at our station.
Correct. That's why it would be great to be able to have maybe a committee from each of the stations, or, you know, LSB members or CAB members that would be willing to sort of support the staff in putting some of these programs out and brainstorming, not only brainstorming what they would be, but then also supporting getting them put together and some of the logistics behind all of it. Because even with the Bob Dylan aspect, we have, you know, ASCAP and BMI to deal with as far as any music, and we're behind with some payments. And so we need to make sure that we are caught up with everything, that we don't, you know, have any red flags that pop up with any sort of music that's being played.
I'm on this item, Chair.
Got it. Thank you. I didn't see any other hands up. One thing I want to note, Aki, is that it appears that Egberta Willis has joined us.
Yes, I am.
Awesome. And
who is calling user one?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask. Who else joined us? Who's
Chair, this is Lawrence. I'm on an iPhone because I fell off.
Fair enough.
So
I got you, yeah. Lawrence. I'll rename you so we know. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so then that takes us to the next item, which is...
Point of order, please. Can Sagerton mute his phone? So we're getting a buzz through on his phone.
Ah, thank you. He's muted. Yep. Okay. Yes. The buzz stopped. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the general counsel report and Q&A, although we don't have Arthur until later this evening, so we'll skip that item. That takes us to item number 6 on the agenda, which is a motion on affiliates director elections. And I will read the motion. Whereas Article 5, Section 4 of the bylaws discuss the annual process for nominating and electing affiliate representative directors, therefore be it resolved that the PMB secretary send out a call for nominations for candidates for affiliate representative directors to be submitted no later than November 30th for distribution to the PMB directors by December 1st. The election of affiliate representative directors will occur as the first agenda item at the PNB meeting on December 15th. That's the motion. I move the motion. Can I get a second for the motion?
Second.
Lawrence seconds, Chair.
Thank you both, Jim Dingman and Lawrence. Darlene, did I tell you how long this item was?
I can read the agenda.
Is there any discussion of this motion, or would people like me to motivate it?
Please, Chair.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Basically, this complies with the bylaws with one tiny exception, which is that we were supposed to have sent out an announcement earlier so that we could close the nominations on November 15th. That's what the bylaws say, but we're effectively, the bylaws also allowed, you know, a 2-week period in between when the nominations close and when the materials get sent to everybody. And then I selected the December 15th meeting as when we would take the vote, from the standpoint that, that gives us plenty of time to contact the people who are candidates and, you know, have them come to the meeting and, it leaves 2 weeks time in between when directors get, all the materials from Polina and when you have to vote so that you have an opportunity to read it. And also we could, if it's everyone's preference, we could have the candidates come to the meeting and, you know, each speak, you know, for a few minutes as to why they think they would be a good candidate, and then we can take the vote on the 15th. And we would be in compliance with the bylaws, basically. But the only reason to change the deadline that's in the bylaws is to make sure that we've gotten that, you know, kind of broad-reaching word out so that we, you know, get a really good candidate pool, basically. Any discussion? All right, let me turn to, are there any objections to the motion? Hearing no objections, the motion passes. Now that we've decided on the date, Polina can send the message out as the foundation secretary, and it will have the November 30th deadline date in it, and then we'll be off to the races in terms of taking care of this. So thanks, everyone.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Teresa.
I'm assuming that goes out through Pacifica Announce to all of our affiliates. Is it also put on the Pacifica website?
I believe that's the case. I'm not 100% certain. Polina?
All right.
Yeah, this is Polina. I can answer that from last year. Last year it went out to the Pacifica Announce list and to maybe even other list that Ursula has, so around the network, but I don't think it was posted on Pacifica.org. I do believe Ursula put it on the affiliates, either in the newsletter or something to that effect.
Got it. Thank you.
And
go ahead,
point of information. How are we going to be voting on this by through the internet, or how is that going to be done?
Off the top of my head, I don't remember the precise details of what the bylaws tell us to do, but it's our sort of usual voting procedure, I think, in terms of I think it's multiple candidates for multiple seats, which makes it, okay, sorry, I can't remember off the top of my head whether that makes it single transferable vote or ranked choice, but you get the idea. And so we'll have a ballot, I think.
Okay, thank you very much.
And then people will vote, and then those directors would be seated when the PNB starts meeting in January. Okay.
Chair, time is up for this motion, but it's on the agenda as a motion. Do we have we passed it by acclamation?
I think we just did right before Teresa.
Okay.
Let me do it again, just to make sure. Are there any objections to the motion on electing on the affiliates director elections? Hearing none, the motion passes by acclamation. Ali Lex, I see your hand.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that last year we elected them by STV. I believe Terry Goodman was the teller, and we sent in our votes, our rankings. I would assume we'll do it the same way this year.
I have no reason to deviate from that. Thank you. All right, so that brings us to item number 7 on the agenda, which is all told a 40-minute item. We've got two sets of motions here. Okay, so the first motion is the motion on programming, which is a combined motion from Jim Dingman and Susan Young. Susan has not yet joined the meeting, so Jim, would you like to? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me start with, let's go back to this item is a 20-minute item, just this particular motion. So, Jim, would you like to read your motion?
Sure. And this is a combined motion that Susan and I hashed out over weeks. Okay. The Pacifica Foundation is facing financial collapse. Perhaps the core issue in averting financial collapse
and rebuilding financial stability, audience, and relevance is a necessity to refresh the programming and open up new possibilities for growth. At the same time, it is necessary for the staff, management, and listener members at each station to engage in teamwork to pull together to achieve these changes. The errors controlled by the foundation in the interest of the public are a signal served, and our programming must serve it better if we are to survive and thrive. The objective of these reforms is to help increase the revenue streams of all the stations with measurable goal to achieve within 6 months as the core strategy to increase audience and reverse financial decline. Whereas the current source of our revenue is 95% dependent on listener members, and the foundation has suffered severe decline in our membership since 2000, resulting in financial instability that threatens the ability of the foundation to survive. All five stations at this time have varying levels of financial instability and declining audience, and three are in severe financial distress. A team effort for staff, management, and listener members is needed to refresh programming and open new possibilities for growth. Now, therefore, be it resolved, from the passage of this motion, all programs are considered as temporary and must reapply to the PDGM of their respective stations for evaluation to be continued on the air. The general managers, program directors, and the executive director are authorized to take measures immediately to begin reforming and changing the grids at the various stations with the goal of increasing audience and achieving at least a 25% increase in gross revenues by April 2, 2023, and will report their progress monthly starting in December 2022. Each station will develop its own approach to increasing audience and revenues with quantifiable goals that support their budgeted revenues and programming that serves Pacifica mission and serves the signal area. All mandates for must-carry programming without exception are considered suspended during this period of reorganization to avert financial collapse. May I motivate this?
Hang on. We need a second.
Second.
Thank you, Donna Grimes. Okay, go ahead and motivate Jim Dingman.
Okay, fine. These issues have been burning for many years. All the stations have problems with their grids, and we're right now at a bottleneck where, looking at the data that I've been gathering for, frankly, quite a long time, but certainly in the, period of time I've been on the PNB, all the stations' grids are more or less hovering at the same numbers, about at the most 100,000 cumes a week, and shortly, usually between 70, 80,000 on average. Now, this has been the same numbers for years now. This has been more or less the same for a couple of years. And frankly, if we don't grow our audiences to 2 to 3 to 4 times that amount, we're not going to be able to have any kind of fiscal stability at all. So these measures are designed to essentially give the stations freedom to do what they need to do to achieve audience growth, revenue growth, and basically do what they need to help recover the situation. But by making the shows are considered temporary, and that doesn't mean that everybody's going to be thrown off the air. It just means that, you know, the stations can decide what they want to do locally, but they will be held accountable in terms of what they actually do in terms of increasing audience or increasing financial wherewithal in the next few months. And so that's, and I have other motions on the line that they've dug up from the programming committee in the past that we'll offer down the road. But this is to take immediate action and to start dealing with this problem, which we all know is one of the problems we have in trying to solve this financial mess.
Thanks, Jim. Is there other discussion of this motion?
Sean for the stack.
Go ahead, Sean.
All righty. In the motion that Susan put forth the last time, she gave a time period for which shows should reapply. This revised one doesn't have that. So the question is, When should they reapply? 2 months, 6 months, 8 months, a year? It's rather vague.
May I reply to that?
Yeah, go ahead, Jim Dingman. Go ahead.
Yes, that's true, Sean, and it was a year in the original motion, but that for some reason was excluded in this as an effort to compromise, but I would certainly think each show should reapply every year in terms of what should be done right now. We can't have 2 years anymore. We're way past, we're about 15 to 20 years past this. Thank you.
Therefore, this warrants an amendment, no?
Are you making an amendment to the motion to add must reapply annually to the PDGM of their respective station? Sean?
Sure. I'll go along with that.
Is there a second for Sean's
I would second
to amend?
I would second that.
Sure.
I would second.
Okay, got it. Okay, so now, folks, I see that I had a stack. But now we're talking just about the motion to amend to make the must reapply to add the word annually to that. So that's the only thing we're discussing at the moment. So, Ali, is that what your hand's up for?
I don't know. Should we ask if there's any objection before we get into that?
Okay, fair enough. Well, I wanted to give people an opportunity to discuss the inserting annual. Okay, let me go to, are there any objections to the motion to amend to insert the word annually?
Annually.
Yes, thank you. Annually. Hearing no objections, the motion to amend, passes, and so the motion now reads, and must reapply annually. Okay, so now we're back to the main motion and discussing it. And I see the stack, so it's Ali, James McFadden, and Lawrence, and there's some other hands too, but Ali, go ahead.
Yeah, this is a question for Jim. So is there and forgive me if this is already in the motion, is there a standardized procedure you're proposing how programs would apply or reapply?
Not really. There's no standardized procedure, but that would be automatic. I mean, I would assume that right now every show would have to reapply to the PDGM as we speak to be allowed on the air or not. That can be determined locally by the GMs and PDs.
Okay, can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah, go ahead.
So when they apply, is there a certain criteria that they have to include within their application as far as, like, you know, conforms to the commission statement, audience, listenership, fundraising, stuff like that?
Yeah, several outstanding motions that have been passed by this board in the past that can be used as an evaluation tool that are essentially ignored to speak directly to those concerns. And I believe I sent them to the board to refresh people's memory a few weeks ago. They both were passed in 2017, and I believe another one was passed in 2015, but they deal extensively with those kind of questions of evaluation.
Thank you.
James McFadden, then Lawrence. James?
Yeah, I'm just going to ask some questions. I'm asking these not in any way to be critical. I just want to make sure I understand the process and stuff. The first question is kind of a yes, no. Is there anything in this motion that couldn't be implemented by the executive director without a motion? Could executive director have implemented this without our being involved? That's a question.
I understand the executive director does not have that written in her contract, so she cannot get involved in this issue.
Okay. So if that's the case, then second, just as I read this, I think as you know, a goal of 25% increase, that'd be great if we can do it. But I guess that what really was going to mean is that that's a pretty damn pipe, barred across. I mean, nobody gets 25% goal, growth in 5 months, I don't think, except maybe some tech stock, that's a pretty high bar. And so I think what that means is that everybody will be reapplying which is okay. Maybe this is needed, to prod people, but I'd be a little surprised that if stations aren't really trying to improve their audience, grow their audience and grow their revenues, it just seems like in a way, I'm not sure how this makes them, unless it somehow can make them work harder. That's all I can really think. I'm just kind of wondering in the end what this does other than gives more flexibility to move the grid around, assuming nobody can reach that 25%.
Madam Chair, I was hoping I might jump the stack because I am a co-author of this motion. I won't if that's not a good idea.
No, so two things. I'll just note that Susan Young is present now, in case that wasn't clear. If you wanted to directly answer that question, Susan, go ahead. But yeah, if you're just speaking for yourself, hang on.
No. Well,
can you add me to the stack also?
I got you, Sharon. Thank you. Go ahead, Susan.
Okay. As Jim said, the executive director's contract specifically prohibits her from dealing with program matters. And yes, every station is doing a balancing act, but they have, part of the balancing act is that they have to answer to factional disputes. So what I'm looking to, my idea in this was to give the GMs and the PDs cover, to give them an explicit requirement from the PNB that flows through the executive director. It's a specific requirement to her too, that we have got to build audience and we've got to build revenues, and that program decisions need to take that into account as a top priority. Now, Jim and I went back and forth over the 25%. He wants the 25%. KPFT, frankly, is demonstrating what can change. We changed the program grid. We have been training people. We had a 200% increase in our gross from the past fund drive, 30-day fund drive. We went from 44 to 119,000 for a 25-day fund drive. And we did that in large part by bringing in the most popular programs and promoting a lot. It is possible. I mean, we're a small entity and we had a really terrible decline. We, like KPFK, had rotating general managers, and changes in policies. But this is to give the PDs and the GMs the backbone to make tough decisions and to let them know that the PNB has their back.
Thanks, Susan. Lawrence, then Darlene. Lawrence?
Thank you, Cher. So, I get what's trying to be done here, but what I'm concerned about, that, the ED is responsible to supervise those people at the station. I understand that in the prohibitive contract that she was handed, it prevents her from getting involved in program decisions. My concern is the matrices that are being proposed in this motion. In regards to the 25%, in 4 months, to increase it to 25%, I think, even if the ED is not, collaborating in programming, which I I wish that she's that she is collaborating to the extent of what could be financially feasible in regards to that programming. My concern is the matrix of one, you know, 4 months come up with a plan, come up with the matrix of 25%. I think that needs to be, that time needs to be, expanded, because I know the ED is hands on when it comes to supervising our staff and in regards to financial matters. So I'm going to make an amendment that, I'm going to propose an amendment that the 25% be stretched out, to July, and not, simply March or April. I think it's highly ambitious. I think it's highly, unrealistic to expect that to happen in such a short period of time, as we are struggling along. Okay, if I could just have a quick 15 seconds, Jeff. So I think that there's none of the PDs or the GMs, in our network that do not want to increase audience size and does not want to provide refreshing programming to help increase that audience size. So that's my amendment, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks. Is there a second to Lawrence's amendment? Anyone?
Oh, I'll second it.
All right, Sharon, thank you. Okay, I had a stack before, so basically Lawrence's amendment changes the April 2023 goal to July. That's the motion to amend. Is there any discussion of the motion to amend?
Yes, I'd like to discuss that.
Go ahead, Jim Dingaman.
All right. Yeah, of course we have to have common sense prevail. My initial wording was to have a 25% increase in audience because, you know, is it that difficult to do to move the audience from 80 to 70 to 90,000, which is where it's stuck over that pillar of 100,000? We want to encourage people to do their best to increase audience and gross revenues as any way they can do it. And there, it's up to them. It's up to the local staff to do that. So I would want to stick with this because look at what we're having to deal with right now. We're talking about selling a building, which is what I do not want to do. And so if we have to extend revenue estimates out for 6 or 7 months, we all know what the financial situation is. What we're trying to do here is to, you know, get something going to try to reverse that. To make it better, to do the turnaround, to start the turnaround. That's what this is all about. So I disagree with Lawrence on that.
Thanks. Are there others who want to speak to the amendment? Lawrence's amendment of changing the date. I see the other people on the stack. Teresa, are you saying you want to be?
If I could have a response when it's appropriate.
Okay, I got you. Go ahead, Teresa. You're muted.
I'm sorry. I believe that Jim and Susan have given a lot of thought to this. I think that we have to let the GMs make decisions to get ourselves out of this mess. And I think that, well, I just keep coming back to the image of the drowning person pulling everyone down. I mean, every programmer might need to call up 10 friends and say, will you be a patron? And if the amount of money that they're raising is so small, it shouldn't be difficult to bring it up. I mean, if you've only been collecting, I mean, we have some sadly, we have some shows that only raise $100. So calling up a friend and saying, hey, can you give $100 to support my show in this pledge drive? I mean, right there, that's a, huge, huge difference in the percentage of what you bring in. So I'd say, no, I'm not for this amendment. I want to go with the original amendment that Jim and Susan proposed. Thank you.
Thanks. Lawrence?
Chair, time is up.
Thank you, Chair.
Item. Oh, hang on though, because Darlene just noted that time is up on this amendment, on this item. So I see still four hands of people who want to be on the stack to speak about the main motion in principle. So,
Sharon Salam
and Sharon. And so motion I'm going to need extend, a motion to extend. Go ahead, Susan.
To extend for, to exhaust the stack on the amendment and then go back and see the stack on the main motion.
Got it. Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to exhaust the stack on the amendment and then the stack on the main motion? Hearing none, we will continue. So Sharon will be the last person to speak. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for this opportunity. And, you know, I'm principally, I support, the elements of this motion. I just think that it presupposes that the GM and the PD and the PDs are not doing, the best they can to increase audience size, right? And to trust upon the, a 4 month period, I think it's very unfair, and it's kind of, I don't want to say it's undermining, because I know Susan and Jim mean well, and I just think that it's not because for lack of trying that we haven't been able to get unstuck from the 70,000 to 80,000 that Jim mentioned. It's that there's something going on in regards to what we're airing as to why we're not increasing audience size. And I know I've spoken to Mr. Wyman. I see what he was doing at KPFK. I know WPFW is doing their due diligence. And I don't diligence. To squeeze on them, if you will, to tell them to come up, increase audience size by 25%. I think it's almost saying that you're not doing your job. So, and that we are all hustling. We are all trying to do the best we can to increase audience size. So that's why I made the amendment. And I hope that you will consider that July is a more realistic possibility of the outcome that this motion wants. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. I think we have exhausted the stack on the amendment. And so I'm going to go to see, are there any objections to Lawrence's amendment?